Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
So we're probably going to do a lot of applicational.
Yay.
A lot of questions. And a lot of applicational and not much historical factual things.
We are the geography.
Yeah.
Give me an apple of land.
So we did cities of refuge. Now it's the cities of the Levites. Yeah. Yo, Evan, how are you? Does everyone know Evan? Evan Schwoyer. All right, well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being here, Lord, and we thank you that you've given us your word and your Holy Spirit to discern your word. And Lord, we ask you to guide us, and Lord, nothing happens by chance. We pray that, you know, John is okay. Lord, we don't know the situation, so we pray, Lord, that he's okay, Joni's okay, Lord, and maybe there was a miscommunication somewhere along the line. But Lord, you have the saints here, Lord, and we have your wisdom. And Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do. This is exciting because you're going to show up here and just be in our midst and guide our conversation. And we thank you for it. So thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to sharpen one another as we explore this chapter, as the land is being divvied up. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's dive right in at chapter 21, Cities of the Levites. And you know what always struck me about the city of the Levites, the cities, is that, you know, they didn't get land, but they still got something. You know, they still got the surrounding area of cities. They got a city, but then they also had like a perimeter of the cities to farm and to raise their own crops. So they weren't without anything. And also what always struck me is that they were always given 10% of all the tithes of Israel went to the Levites. So they were treated, you know, really well, but it is interesting how they didn't, they weren't permitted to own a territory. And that was probably, I would think, because, you know, priests are to intercede between God and man and intercede between man and God. And the Levites were considered, you know, that special group of people who were those intercessors. And so they needed to be sprinkled out throughout the whole land, you know, so that they could participate in that act of interceding. And so if they had their own land, then they would be brought aside and out to kind of a, they'd be isolated, you know, which would not be healthy, you know, for them. You know, for some reason, it just reminded me of how they say, you know, in ministry, how the bigger a church gets, the people at the top become further and further removed from the congregation. You ever hear that? Like how they, because they become like isolated and they're sort of in their own bubble. And that's just not healthy, you know, to be separate, not experiencing the same things that the congregation is, and not in the weeds, if you will, with what all the people are going through. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
But okay. So, in fact, do we want to take some turns reading? That would kind of be fun as well. Someone want to take chapter 21, verse 1 to 3.
Hey, Dale. Jill was walking up to do that.
Yeah. You want to do that? All right, Mr. Vozo, or Vazo, as some might say.
Then the heads of the father's houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar, the priest, to Joshua, the son of Nun, and to the heads of the father's houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, "The Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their common lands for our livestock." So the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their common lands.
Okay. All right. I think we can move on from there unless someone has something that jumps right out at them that they want to mention. If not, why don't we go from verses 4 to 5? Because I just don't want to miss something if we go through too much in one segment. Who wants to read verses 4 and 5? Good. Ken.
The descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite, member of some clan, the tribe of Levi, were allotted 13 towns that were originally assigned to the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The other families of that same clan were allotted 10 towns from the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh.
Okay. Hey, why don't you read on, Ken?
The clan of Gershon was allotted 13 towns from the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The clan of Merari, was allotted 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the Israelites obeyed the Lord's command to Moses and assigned these towns and pasture lands to the Levites by casting sacred lots. The Israelites gave the following towns to the tribes of Judah and Simeon, to the descendants of Aaron, who were members of that same tribe, to the tribe of Levi, since the sacred lot fell to them first: Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with surrounding pastures. Arba was ancestor of Anak. But the open fields beyond the town and the surrounding villages were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession.
Okay, why don't we stop there for a second? So does everyone remember the story about Caleb that we learned not too many months ago or weeks ago? But Caleb, and do you recall that he received that land? And what was that land? Describe that land and its inhabitants, if anyone wants to share. Deb?
Big.
Giant. Yeah, giant. Yeah. And what were you saying? Mountainous, yeah. Hey, remember, he was 85 at the time. And so, you know, that's always a fun subject, especially for those of us who are, you know, starting to get past middle age, you know, thinking that, you know, our time is still now, you know, that we can still conquer the amazing mountains and the amazing giants, you know, and it's never over until the Lord takes us. So I love that idea. But let me ask you something. So Aaron or Evan or Frank, you know, you're in your younger years than some of us. What does that make you think about when you think of Caleb? If you remember the story, Caleb at the age of 85, when he entered the land, he ended up taking this mountainous land with giants in it, and he conquered it. And I'm sure he had some young bucks with him, okay? He didn't do it solo. But how does that make you feel in terms of, you know, being younger, looking forward? What do you think? Any thoughts?
I would say that it's it gives me hope to know that there's no time when God stops me.
Yeah.
That as long as you are, I guess, young in spirit, the Lord will still use you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And young in spirit, what's that mean? And we could ask anybody in the room, what does young in spirit mean? Would you say? What is someone, regardless of their age, being young in spirit? Based on how he said it, you know. Yeah, okay.
Hungry.
Hungry? Yeah. What was that?
Optimistic.
Gail?
I also think being willing to trust God no matter what, and in that trust, being able to be obedient to God no matter what. No matter what he asks you to do, just trusting that he's going to enable you to do whatever he asks you to do, so that it doesn't really matter how old you are. That's going to use you how he wants, and he's going to enable you to do whatever he asks you to do.
Yeah. So what do you think of an older guy saying, give me the most difficult challenge to take?
I think Ron and Roger would do the same.
Yeah. I do too.
That's how God works?
That's good. You hear what Ben says?
I think God, that's how God works. He doesn't choose the obvious. Like David with a child when you sleep alive. Choose an older man to do something. So it's not them, it's him working through them.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take some like Herculean guy. It's like, oh yeah, you can handle that. Like there's no connection.
Right. Right. He doesn't like when he shaved down the thousands to 300 men with Gideon. That's just what he wants to do. He wants to defy logic. You know, it's like, well, of course you would be able to win. So I'm not going to let you have that many people.
Exactly.
You know, of course you would win being, you know, at your prime. So you're not going to have that land. Someone else is going to have that land that defies logic, you know. Yeah, it's good. You know, and also just, you know, maybe maturity, like realizing that no one else might want that land. You know, you ever think about that? Like, yeah. In other words,
because of the terrain and that challenge that is.
Yeah, can you think of a time in your life that you realize, you know what? No one else is going to want to do this. I know you don't want to be singing your own praises if you, but it's okay this time. Like, did you ever say, you know what? No one else wants to do this. So I'll do it. Because it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. For me, Caleb's mindset was, I want to see God move.
Right.
So whatever's impossible, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I like that.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, first fight out in the land, just seeing Joshua, the only one, like, yeah, God's got this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Dave.
Yeah.
Little guy going up against, you know, Goliath. He said, God's got this. You know, he said, why God's got this? You know, so to me, that's, you know, it's there are a lot of things that I do that are like, because I love seeing God and do.
Yeah, it's fun stepping out of your comfort zone, isn't it? And saying, I have no business being in this place at this time, but watch what happens, you know? Yeah. Damn.
I find it interesting that, you know, the tribes were supposed to give the Levites a portion. But when you read down through here, a lot of the tribes gave them the cities of refuge of their worship, which was probably a credit portion of their of what they got. So, like, the cities of refuge were where the people ran to who were wrongly accused of murder. And they had to live there until the priests died. Whether they had really, you know, were really guilty or not, they had to go there. Probably was not a wealthy city. Probably was not the shiniest portion
right, of the tribe. Right.
And they gave that to the priests. But to me, what this shows is that God was faithful. God provided for them. But the biggest thing with the tribe of Levites is that it just continues to show that it was always God's plan for God to be in the not
right.
Pastoral things.
Yeah.
You know, that God was there to take their inheritance, but he still provided, you know.
Yeah, and not to mention the people, like you just said, that were coming in, you know, were they, did they have any guilt in the situation? if people are the way they are today, we all probably did something to, a little bit to get us into whatever situation we're in. So, yeah, that's a great observation. And yet, in a sense, they both worked hand in hand because there needed to be a high priest there for it to be a refuge, city of refuge. It was kind of worked hand in hand, you know. It was, they were given that, and it was because there needed to be a priest there. But, you know, yeah, they probably weren't, you know, the creme a la creme, you know.
Probably wasn't the wealthiest town.
No. That's true. But, yeah, it's good. So, how about, who wants to grab 13 to 19?
Well,
yeah.
Thus to the children of Aaron, the priests, they gave Hebron with its common land, a city of refuge for the slayer, as she was pointed out. Libnah with its common land, Jeter with its common land, Eshtemoah with its common land, Holon with its common land, Debir with its common land, Ain with its common land, Jutah with its common land, and Beth Shemesh with its common land. 9 cities from those 2 tribes, and from the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its common land, Geba with its common land, Anathoth with its common land, and Almon with its common land. 4 cities. All the cities of the children of Aaron of Greece were 13 cities with their common lands.
Okay. So those common lands again. So at least they had some area that they could do some of their own farming and so forth, you know, that they didn't have to rely. Yeah. Which is important, you know, you see that, you know, throughout scripture, you know, that people who served also always worked, you know, I mean, and probably that's always how the Lord designed it, that, you know, everyone also has to, you know, they can't rely strictly on the people for support, you know. It's probably a healthy situation. How about verse 20 to 26?
The rest of the Kohathite clans of the Levites were allotted towns from the tribe of Ephraim. In the hill country of Ephraim, they were given Shechem, a city of refuge for one accused of murder, and Gezer, Kibzaim, and Beth Haran, together with their pasture lands, 4 towns. Also from the tribe of Dan, they received Elktehed, Tekeh, Gibbethon, Ajalon, and Gath Rimmon, together with their pasture lands, 4 towns. From half the tribe of Manasseh, they received Tanakh and Gath Rimmon,
together with their pasture lands, two towns. And all these ten and their ten towns and their pasture lands were given to the rest of the Kohathite clans.
All right. You want to read on, Deb?
Sure.
Why don't you read all the way down to 42?
The Levite clans of the Gershonites were given from the half-tribe of Manasseh, Golan, and Bashan, a city of refuge for one accused of murder, and the Eshterah, together with their pasture lands, two towns. From the tribe of Issachar, Kishion, Dabarath, Jarmuth, and Enganim, together with their pasture lands, four towns. From the tribe of Asher, Mishael, Abdon, Kalkat, and Rehob, together with their pasture lands, four towns. From the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh, and Galilee, a city of refuge for one accused of murder, Hamath-dor and Kartan, together with their pasture lands, three towns. The total number of towns of the Gershonite clans came to 13, together with their pasture lands. The Merarite clans, the rest of the Levites, were given from the tribe of Zebulun, Jokum, Kartet, Dimna, and Nahalal, together with their pasture lands, four towns. From the tribe of Reuben, Bezer, Jahaz, Kedemoth, Mephath, together with their pasture lands, four towns. From the tribe of Gad, Ramoth, and Gilead, a city of refuge for one accused of murder, Mahanaim, Heshbon and Jazer, together with their pasture lands, four towns in all. The total number of towns allotted to the Merarite clans, who were with the rest of the Levites, came to 12. Did you want me to go down with where? 46 down the bottom. Okay. The towns of the Levites in the territory held by the Israelites were 48 in all, together with their pasture lands. Each of the towns had pasture lands surrounding it. This was true for all the towns. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled.
That's great. Happily ever after. You just have to be confident in however you pronounce it. And you got us all on board. Once you hesitate, we're questioning, right? But so that's great, you know. It's interesting, you know, God loves numbers. And in this case, there's 48 cities, and you know, it's a multiple of 12, you know. It's one less than 49, which the year of Jubilee, 49 at the end of the 49th year. So there could be a lot of things, and we can put a lot of conjecture on that. But in the end, you know, God provided for everyone, set everyone up in the promised land, and even set the Levites up with being spread out throughout the land and intermixed among the tribes. And which is, you know, the way it should be, because, you know, every tribe needed that intermediary, you know, between them and God. And so why don't we talk a little bit about the priests, how we are called, you know, a royal priesthood. Revelation says that we are kings and priests, you know, which... You know, obviously we aren't the king, but I think of us as kind of like tetrarchs, you know, like king, little kingettes for the king. He puts us in charge of things on earth on behalf of him. You know, it's like we represent him. So just like, you know, King Herod represented Caesar and the emperor in a certain region, you know, we represent our king on earth in certain regions of relationships, certain regions of geography, certain regions of responsibilities, you know? So whether it be like relationships where we represent the king in our families, we represent the king in our workplace, we represent the king in perhaps any other, in fact, can you think of some other venues or situations that we represent the king as a king on behalf of him? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go to priests. But like, do you think of yourself as a king or a queen? In this case, you're a king, but you're saying no, Evan. How come? Or why should you? Am I putting you on the spot?
I don't know. Well, obviously, my first thought when I think of king is royalty. I think of somebody who is very high up, very important. Not a commoner, per se. Someone that sticks out. Is someone people look to. I don't know if I would necessarily think of myself as a king. Not saying that I am absent of characteristics of a king, but I don't know. I think it just initially my thought process, no, I don't feel like a king.
Right.
I just feel like an average, ordinary person among other ordinary people. I don't know.
And that's probably the way most of us normally go. I know I do. In fact, sometimes I feel like the least in the room in situations and so forth. But like, what do we mean by king? Do we really mean by like we rule over people, or we have stewardship? So real quick, before we part, we talked a lot about priests. We might as well just touch on it for just 5 minutes. About the priesthood, because we are called.
Bro. Bro, you're good.
But priests, it's interesting. See you, Justin.
See you, bro. Thank you.
But it's interesting how the priests were sprinkled amongst throughout the tribes, and they weren't given their own territory. And I think that really is relevant to us in a sense. How would you say that relates to us? The fact that the sprinkling of the Levites throughout the land, how can we relate our lives to that?
I think you said it well with that they were, they're the priests. And so they are in amongst all the tribes to deal with, any issues they had. And we're priests. And so, as we walk and wherever we go, whatever we're doing, we're to be priests.
Yeah.
Act like that.
And can we, and I know I can, at times start to get kind of insulated or not willing to be spread out and not willing to be outside of my little territory and interacting with, the people that God wants to minister to. Like, what do you, anyone want to comment on that idea? On how, what does that mean to us as priests, Gail?
I think we're supposed to.
Gail?
The thing that I've been thinking about lately a lot is the fact that we're supposed to act as though this life is just a temporary thing. We're supposed to remember that our real home is in heaven and that everything that we're doing here on earth is supposed to be for the glory of God that will enhance the kingdom even here on earth as we prepare to go to heaven. So that we're working not for our own stuff, but for the kingdom. And so what we're doing here is what is important to God and not necessarily what is important to our own life.
Dad?
No, it's just the same thing everybody else has said is that, I think it was always God's intention for Israel to be the city on the hill, for us all to be the the kingdom of priests that are the intermediaries for everyone. I think ultimately it would be awesome if we did that and reflected God the way we're supposed to. Thankfully, he can use broken vessels. But, it's the same with our marriages. They are, a prophetic example of Christ and his bride. And ultimately, God wants us to be his reflection on this world. And it's really, it's easy to get insulated with what you're talking about. It's easy to, because we only have 24 hours in a day. And if you're working, and if you're, feeding your family and gathering groceries, whatever you're doing, it's easy to become insulated. And easier for some than others, especially if you're a little shy, or, if you are, don't like crowds or whatever. Yeah, it's easy to become insulated. But I think we're supposed to reflect God in all things. Thank goodness this grace uses us and pours out anyway.
I think it's just, it's easy to be in the flesh, right? And then certain people transform into the spirit. Be thinking about the Lord and his will is like a sacrifice, right? So when we get caught up in all our own stuff, then the Lord does take a back seat. It's not supposed to be that way. He's supposed to be our mind, and he's supposed to be on top of everything. He's supposed to be the first priority of everything that we do. It's so easy to get caught up, especially when things start rolling, that one thing after another thing. And, we're supposed to be disciples for them. We're supposed to be carrying the cross. And it's easy to say, oh, well, all this stuff I got to do that's part of my physical or my flesh, he's carrying my cross. But it's not really what it is. It's about Jesus and putting the Lord first. It really takes a lot of focus. It's something we should be concentrating, meditating on. I know for me, it's an ongoing battle. So I do get caught up, just life, everyday life. You say you have the opportunity to share Jesus, and you're all wrapped up in what you got to do when you get home and everything else. Praying does help. We should definitely be praying before we get out of the bar, which, it has to be something that is has to be something that's programmed into us that we do routinely. I think, at least for me, it's something I do feel like I need to work on. It's easy when you're in a car listening to gospel music to be praising the Lord, But like you say, you get out of the car, you're in work. I do try to focus on him, but it's easy to get distracted. I just wanted to share that, trying to stay in the spirit.
Yeah. What does God want to be happening right now?
What does he want?
At this moment, it's tough. Sometimes we get bombarded with a lot of things.
Also, yeah.
But you're like, which one? God, it's most important. But, it's everything happens for a reason. And Justin to come in tonight, a loose agenda, and here he is, and we ministered to him and led him to talk, and he ministered to us too, and reminding us of some things. And, where the Spirit is, and there's always counseling going on for all of us. Anything Monday?
It's been a good one. It's just nice to see how God moves, to be honest. And Kim was the milestone teacher. We ended up, myself, I ended up repeating from the day, just seeing how God moves in random
ways. Yeah. Which is good. Yeah, the teacher's always here.
Right.
Well, the word is, the teacher's always with him.
I mean, we couldn't say what's just playing out, but to your point, I mean, you know, everything happens for a reason. So when I started coming to church, to this church when we moved to Mountain, so I didn't know what day the story was. But after coming to church the first week, I enjoyed it so much. I wanted to come the next week. So I actually came to church on Tuesday. He came with us and I was saying, so I was disappointed when I went to church because so I was walking back. I met an old man who really special, just this petrol station business church. He couldn't use that to go to him and sister. I said to myself, that's probably
right.
So who knows what he came in? Some people sometimes they just have a thing.
Yeah.
It's me.
Why don't you close us in prayer? Alright.
Jesus, Father, thank you, Lord, for receiving me and giving us an opportunity to serve in your word. Place to be able to us in the word. Teaching to live so peace. We are just in the truth from grace part of the world. So I want to take the chief in your counsel, which takes peace and the power to come forward. This anniversary of this country, as we are going at home, we are doing the rest of this thing. Thanks even to you.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.